Just a moment. Dear Father, we just thank you because you truly deserve it. Yes. And Lord, all of the honor belongs to you. We thank you for who you are. Lord, you are holy. You are righteous. You do all things well, yes, whether I understand it or not. And Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the truth of your word. And we praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Get my notes here. So as you can see, our topic for today is knowing God. How do we know God? That's the $100,000 question. So our focus verse will be Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24, and then we'll kind of branch out from there. So the master of tech of there we go. All right. Thus says the Lord, let not the one who is wise and skillful boast in his insight. Let not the one who is mighty and powerful boast in his strength. Let not the one who is rich boast in his temporal satisfactions and earthly abundance. But let the one who boast in this, that he understands and knows me and acknowledges me and honors me as God and recognizes without any doubt that I am the Lord who practices loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. Now, before we go further, I want to focus on the word know. In Hebrew, the word is yada, and it means, kind of a rough translation, is to know, to be known, to be deeply respected, an experiential knowledge, not just an intellectual knowledge. About 10, 12 years ago, how many of you all know who Cedric the Entertainer is? Okay. I saw him in the airport. And I said, hey, that's Cedric the Entertainer. He said, what up, dog? Now, I met him. I don't know him. Some people know of the Lord. They've met the Lord. But knowing the Lord is a whole different thing. Now, let's develop this thought a little bit more. All right. The same word is used in Genesis 4 and 1. It says, now the man Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. Obviously, that's talking about physical intimacy. It's the same word. Psalm 46 and 10. Be still and know that he is God. Same word. Oh, see, now my ESPN alerts are coming on. Okay. So God is talking about intimacy with him. He's talking about, let me give this example. Wednesday, ironically, will be 3 years since Wendy and I had our first conversation. Wow. On the phone. 3 years. Now, that first conversation obviously was by phone. And it was an hour and a half. We talked. We enjoyed each other's conversation. But I didn't know Wendy. She didn't know me. We spent a month talking on the phone. It was great, you know, getting to learn about each other. The first time I actually saw Wendy was, actually it was kind of awkward. That's another story. I'm sure Wendy's laughing right now. And she's probably saying, Junior, and she calls me Junior. As I've gotten to know her and she's gotten to know me, we know more about each other, but there's more growth that's coming. We have people that have been married here over 40 years. That bond has deepened since that day you all stood in front of each other and proclaimed your vows to one another. you are learning and growing and knowing. And guess what? A lot of that growth is tied in with adversity. Amen. That's what really strengthens the bond when you go through adversity together. Okay, so let's go. Oh, actually, and this isn't in the text, but Job 42, I believe in 5, where Job says, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. And it's that same concept where he's learning, he had learned God. He's like, oh, because see, knowing God is not about a cultural Christianity. It's not about a historic Christianity or a familial Christianity. It's a personal relationship that we have. Obviously, first and foremost, we have to dedicate our lives to him. We have to say, God, I need you in my life. I realize that I've been messing stuff up. God, I need you to take control in my life. I need you to guide me. So it starts with that. Okay, let's go to Psalm 33. All right. Psalm 33, verses 18 through 22. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon those who fear him and worship him with awe-inspired reverence and obedience. Part of knowing the Lord is being obedient and respecting, revering, honoring him. As we go back quickly, think of the thought in Jeremiah 9 and 23, that he understands and knows me. Now, when the passage says understands, that doesn't mean that, okay, I figured God out. I know how he responds. But knowing that God, first and foremost, is loving, he is kind, he is just, and he is righteous. Whatever decisions God makes, they're the right ones. Now, I'm likely not going to understand the intricacies of those decisions, and a lot of those decisions are not going to feel good. But I know, and we have to understand, God loves me. He is sovereign. He is in control. He's doing the right thing. And I have to rest and trust in him. Amen. So back to Psalm 33. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon those who fear him and worship him with awe-inspired reverence and obedience. On those who hope, and Pastor Warren addressed this a little bit this morning, those who hope confidently in his compassion and loving kindness to rescue their lives from death and keep them alive in famine. We wait expectantly for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For in him our heart rejoices, because we trust, lean on, rely on, and are confident in his holy name. Let your steadfast loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us in proportion as we have hoped or as we have trusted in you. So here it is. If I don't know God, if I don't place my confidence in him, I'm not going to trust him. And God wants us to place our confidence in him. Think of a relationship, and I'm going to go back and forth on this analogy. When you're in a relationship, marriage relationship, family relationship, the more time you spend with that spouse, with that family member, I know Camille speaks often about her father. She knows who her dad is. She knows how he's going to respond in certain situations. So you know you can trust your father in these areas. If your dad says this is what's going to happen, it's a done deal. Eventually, as much as it's in his power, it's going to happen. That's what our God wants from us. He wants us to rest and trust. Now, I completely understand that that's not easy at times. And I think that's exactly the point. That's what God is communicating to us. Look, he is saying he is trustworthy. And the overarching theme is that he loves us. See, I've learned something. And I like saying this in my 50 years. Yes. See, and Wendy just did this. I can feel it. She just did this. Sometimes we feel like we have to understand things to be able to place my trust in it. I got to know how this is working out. And then I'll trust you. And God is saying, no, no. Think of Abraham with Isaac. And more importantly, think of the progression of Abraham's faith. Early on, God told Abraham, you're going to have a son. He fell on the ground laughing. He said, there is no way this is going to happen. Abraham went different places, Egypt and I believe with Abimelech. And he told Sarah, he said, you know what, tell them you're my sister because I don't want them messing with me. Yeah. But as Abraham grew in faith, as he was relating with God, as he was knowing God, when he got to the point with Isaac and God said, take him up and sacrifice him, he said, okay. He said, okay. And Abraham's thought was, you're obviously going to raise him up. But I can trust you because you are trustworthy. All right, Psalm 139. O Lord, we see the verses there. O Lord, you have searched me thoroughly and have known me. Do you know that he knows everything about me? Let's go back to relationships. I don't know if it was 4 or 5 months in to the relationship with Wendy. I said, you know what? I love this lady. I want to marry her. And there were some things that happened in my past that I said, you know what? I have to tell her about. But you know what? I didn't tell her everything. But I did tell her these things that were very important. I said, hey, you know what? This happened and this happened. I did that. And I want you to know this. And she shared some things with me. And interestingly enough, on our second date at Terranea Resort, by the way, by the sea, as the sun was setting, Wendy shared some things with me about herself, and I was like, wow. I was like, this lady is something else. Because, you know, people don't see, typically when you're dating someone, you meet someone, you keeping everything tied up, nice and neat. I'm giving you my best hairstyle. See, that lasts for a while, and then everything starts to kind of tumble out, all the skeletons. And guess what? We all have skeletons. We all have baggage. Every one of us has something. We all got something. Every last one of us. And if you say you don't, you are not telling the truth. And again, Psalm 139, O Lord, you have searched me thoroughly and have known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up, my entire life, everything that I do. You understand my thought from afar. In other words, you understand my thoughts before I think them. And my point in sharing this passage is Psalm 62 and 8 says, pour out your heart before God. No, I didn't give. I'm gonna throw some stuff in there. Pour out your heart before God, because He is a refuge for me. See, I have learned in my 50 years. Well, let's say 10, 15, 20 years ago, when I would pray, and you all have heard me say this before, I would pray what I thought I should say. God, You are the high and holy one, and He is. Lord, You do all things well, and He does. God, I want to do everything according to Your will. Well, that wasn't quite true. But those things that I thought, oh, this is too embarrassing. I can't say this in prayer. I can't say that. And then it occurred to me, wait a minute. He knows it all anyway. He knows it. Let me get deeper with that. Those bitter feelings I may be harboring towards somebody, He knows that. Those feelings of lust, He knows that. So let me give it to God and say, God, I want, You know, this is how I'm thinking. This is not honoring to You. God, I want You to take it from me because I want to honor You. And you know what I discovered? First of all, I discovered that I was carrying those things as a weight on my emotional shoulders. And when I shared them with God, it was like, boom. It's like, oh. That's called vulnerability. And that's what we all want in our relationships. Vulnerability. Wendy and I, we have kind of a, I think it was last week, it's kind of a running joke. I can be a little stubborn sometimes. Yeah, I can. And I was talking to her about her son, and I said, you know, Corey likes what he don't like being told what to do. He wants it to be his idea. And then I stopped and I said, you know, I'm kind of that way too. Amen. And you know what? Y'all that way too. Yeah, right. Y'all that way too. And that's what I told Wendy, because she said, yeah, uh-huh. I said, wait. Hold on now. You same way. That's right. That's human nature. When I am honest about who I am, let me stop presenting this facade that I cross every T, I dot every I. I even dot the T's and cross the I's. Saying, you know what, God, this is an area that I need to grow in. And this is part of knowing God. Warren referenced this passage too. I believe it's Isaiah 1 and 18. God says to His disobedient children, think about this. The best father ever has the worst kids. But He is loving. He said, come, let us talk about this. He didn't say, I'm going to blast you out of here. He said, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I will make them white as snow. That touched me and continues to touch me because we see the loving kindness. And this is a part of knowing God, knowing who He is. He is patient. He is loving. God wants to talk to us. And more importantly, he wants us to listen and apply what He's saying. All right. You know, when I sit down and when I rise up, my entire life, everything I do, You understand my thought afar off. You scrutinize my path and my lying down, and You are intimately acquainted with some of my ways. All my ways. You know everything about me. You know the things that make me angry. You know the things that frustrate me. You know the things I love. By the way, Pastor Kerm, you've heard of the Mustang Mach-E electric car? I rode in one of those the other day. Oh, I got to tell you about it. Oh, it was so nice. I digress. Now, see, you all know I like cars. It wasn't at the dealership. It was one of the guys at Calvary. His brother bought it, but his brother went to Arizona. So he said, you can drive it for a week. He's like, Willie, come check this out. I was like, oh, it's nice. Okay. Even before there is a word on my tongue, still unspoken, behold, O Lord, you know it all. Wow. Let's think about that. Before I even utter whatever it is, let's say it's going to be a word of encouragement to someone. Before I even say that, God's like, I know in 35 minutes you're going to encourage this brother or sister. You have enclosed me behind and before, and you have placed your hand upon me. Such infinite knowledge, that's too much for me. I don't get it. It is too high above me. I cannot reach it. So with that in mind, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? Jonah said, I'm going the other way. And look, Jonah was a real prophet of God, but Jonah had some cultural issues. He had some prejudices. So when God said that he wanted to bless the Ninevites, Jonah, the authentic prophet of God, said, basically, God, I don't want you to bless them. So I'm not going to do what you told me to do. And what I love about the scripture, after Jonah did all his stuff, God said, you're going to Nineveh. And I can see God saying that just as calm. Where initially he said, go rise, go to Nineveh. Jonah's like, nope, I'm not doing it. He went through all that, being swallowed by the fish and so forth, spit upon the ground. God said, rise and go to Nineveh. Just like I told you the first time. If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, the netherworld, the place of the dead, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me and your right hand will take hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will cover me. In other words, I'm going to do my business in the dark so nobody can see me. And God's like, no, I got you. I know where you are. And the night will be the only light around me. Even the darkness is not dark to him and conceals nothing from you. This speaks to God's sovereignty. Warren talks about sovereignty all the time. I believe he says super reign. God is in complete control of everything. Coronavirus, God is in complete control of everything. Family members acting up, God is in complete control of everything. Back to an original point. See, there are things that we don't understand. We can't see because we're not omniscient. So stuff's going wrong. That doesn't mean I just lay down and do nothing. But God's like, God is telling us, trust me. Rest in me. Back to Psalm 46 and 10. Be still. It says, and what that means is, let go, relax, and know that he is God. Stop striving. Again, I fully acknowledge that is not always easy to do, But what that says is that I don't know him. If I'm twisting and turning and wringing my hands over things, what it says is I don't know him. I don't know him as deep as I should. For you formed me, you formed my innermost parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I was having a conversation with my mom, I think it was last Sunday, and she was talking about her brother. And she was talking about a trip. She went to see him, I think, when I was in the womb. And she said, she was like, your brother was like 2.5 or 3. And I'm like, where was I? You didn't mention me. Well, I was in her belly. But see, God knit me together right there, even before that. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Do we actively think that God loves me? Let me dig a little deeper on that. When I'm suffering, when I'm struggling with something, when somebody's not acting right, and sometimes that person is me, am I focusing on, you know what? God, your thoughts toward me are precious. If I could count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. You all hear me say this all the time. We have to have a working knowledge of God's word. Because if I don't, when adversity comes, for that man, let me switch it. When good times come, and I don't have a solid understanding of who God is, I'm going to act up. No, I'll be like, man, I did this. Let me tell you something that bothers me. And I get it, but it just doesn't rub me the right way. I see someone who has gotten a new car, and they have on the license plate, God did it. I get it, but I think it sends a bad message. That blessings are only material. My relationship with God is about the stuff that I have. No. Does God bless us with material things? Absolutely. But that's not the prime thing. We're talking about knowing God. We're talking about a relationship with him. Wendy and I exchange a lot of gifts. But that's not the reason why we're together. That's not the best part of our relationship. It's the fellowship we have, the laughter we have, and communion. Wendy knows things about me that not very many people know. I know some things about her that not very many people know. And let me tell you something else. Let me do a Wendy shout out real quick. Even if she wasn't listening, I would do a Wendy shout out. Wendy, and I say this to her all the time, she is a beautifully unique person. One of her coworkers has cancer. Her coworker has specifically requested that Wendy check in with her on a daily basis. And Wendy was like, why are you choosing me? I go to, you all know I love going to the farmers markets. I go to the Claremont Farmers Market just about every other Sunday morning. There are two ladies at one of the stands where I buy my raisins and apples. They met Wendy about a year ago. So when I roll up to the stand, they're like, hi, Willie. And they're just saying hi to me so they can see how Wendy's doing. They're like, hi, Willie. How's Wendy? This morning I was there. Hi, Willie. How's Wendy doing? I said, oh, her birthday was on the 8th. Oh, please tell her we said happy birthday. Wendy has this impact on people. I've seen it multiple times. People meet her and they're like, oh, I just love Wendy. So you all remember the TV show Everybody Loves Raymond? I say to Wendy, everybody loves Wendy. And that's great. That's wonderful. See, right now Wendy's like, Junior, Junior, Junior. That's how she's saying, Junior. All right. If I could count those thoughts that you have for me, they would outnumber the sand. How many people have been to the beach? How many people have scooped up sand? If you scoop up a handful of sand, you can't count them. You can't count the grains. And God is talking about all the sand on the seashore. His thoughts toward us outnumber the sand. Does that speak a little bit of how much he loves us? All right, got to bring this on home. Search me thoroughly, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Another passage I love, I don't know exactly where it is, and I'm sure somebody will find it, where the man, Jesus said, do you believe? And he said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I love that. That's authenticity. And what that tells me is, yeah, the Lord wants me to trust him, but he knows my thoughts, and he wants me to be real with him. God, I'm having a struggle in this area. God, I want to rest in you. I want to trust you. I want to be obedient to you, but I'm having a struggle here, and I need you to help me. Search me thoroughly, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there is any wicked or hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. Okay, I'm going to ask a question that I ask a lot, and you know where it's going to go. How many people have been hurt here in the room? Can I see a show of hands? All right, y'all know where I'm going next. How many people have hurt people in here? All right. Right, right. Our goal is not to hurt people. As we grow in our knowledge of God, those opportunities, occasions where we're hurting other people will decrease. I am learning something in my 50 years. I'm learning how to have conversation. And more importantly, I'm learning how to listen. And not just listening to the words that are being said, but the emotions that are behind them. Okay, 2 Timothy 3:16. Warren was all over this message this morning. All scripture is God-breathed. Oh, I should have set this up. So how do I know God? First, I have to have a relationship with him. And two, I have to read his word. I have to study his word on a regular basis. Hopefully, you can do it daily. Pastor Kerm and I have been going through the Bible in a year. How many years has it been? It's probably longer than that. Yeah. All scripture is God-breathed, given by divine inspiration, and is profitable for instruction, for conviction of sin. Have you ever read, and I know the answer to this, have you ever read God's word? You're by yourself and you're reading it, and you say, oh, that's a good thing. Oh. And I'm not talking about so-and-so, Sonia should be reading this. She need, no. Right here. All scripture is God-breathed, given by divine inspiration, and is profitable for instruction, for conviction of sin, for correction of error, and restoration to obedience. I want to be obedient to God because I have learned in my 50 years that when I'm obedient to God, I experience peace. When I'm not obedient to God, no peace. No BMW, no house, no stock portfolio, nothing. And substitute for that. Which leads me to another passage that's not here. And this is that you all, some of y'all know this, the central passage in the financial stewardship, Luke 16 and 15. You are those who justify yourselves in the sight of men, but God knows your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is detestable in the eyes of God. What are the things that are highly esteemed among men? Yeah, and it goes back to the first passage. Oh, I'm smart. I have a lot of money. I have a lot of power, and that's what I'm reveling in. God's like, that's not it. Now, will he grant us those things? Yeah, sure. But here's what I've learned. My BMW experience was about 12 years ago. Wow, 12 years ago. Yeah, 2008. Yes. Well, it was November, so, you know, 2 years and, I mean, 12 years and, yeah, Camille is actually. I'm in my 13th year from that. How about that? All right. As wonderful, and the car was great. It was great. It was fun to drive. Did you ever drive it?
No, you wouldn't let me.
Oh, okay. I think you did. I think I took it to the house for you to check it out. I was like, no, that don't sound right. That's because he's almost 70. Well, let me say this. I'm forgetting the stuff now. I lost my workout watch about a month ago. I don't know where that thing is. I had to buy another one. I still don't know where that watch is. Anyway, see, I just lost my train of thought. Okay, BMW. As wonderful as that car was, oh, it was fun to drive. You talking about, for those car aficionados out there, hugging a corner, speed, solidity, it's wonderful. But when it starts going wrong, when stuff starts breaking down, oh, boy. Putting gas in it, paying for insurance. Oh, $842 a month. And I love that. I love that response. That's why I say it. I hear people say, ooh. I've heard that. Ooh. All right. I got to wrap this up. All scripture is God-breathed by divine inspiration and is profitable for instruction, for conviction of sin, for correction of error and restoration to obedience, for training in righteousness, learning to live in conformity to God's will, both publicly and privately. Because I can present this wonderful image of who I am before you here. But Wendy, my mom, my brother, can say, well, I don't know. Behaving honorably with personal integrity and moral courage. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. So what does the Lord hate? These six things the Lord hates, indeed seven are repulsive to him. Now, if God is saying something's repulsive, It's pretty bad. A proud look, the attitude that makes one overestimate oneself and discount others. Think of Luke 18 with the Pharisee and the tax collector. He's like, man, I am it. This other guy, he ain't nothing. I've done this. As a side note, do you know, and you do know this, do you know that each one of us sizes up people when we meet them? We size them up by the clothes they wear, the way they talk, if they got a bunch of tattoos. Chuck Swindoll is one of my favorite teachers, and he was going through a message, and I love what he had. I appreciate ministers who are honest and authentic. He said, and this guy's, what, 85 now? He said, you know what? I still have issues with people who have tattoos, and I know I need to do a better job of that. Oh, I love that. I love that he's honest. It's like God is still working with me in that area. I love that. I don't necessarily respect those who present themselves as having it all together. I don't like that. Because first of all, I know you're not being honest. And you're presenting a facade that everything's together. Look, we all got something. We all got something. Stop pretending that you don't. Okay. These six things the Lord hates, indeed seven are repulsive to him. A proud look, the attitude that makes one overestimate oneself and discount others. A lying tongue and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that creates wicked plans. Feet that run swiftly to evil. Remember at school, a fight would break out. Fight! Fight! Nobody's doing anything to break it up. Oh, look. God says that's repulsive to him. Now, we're not on the school campus, but sometimes we can see discord going on and sit back and like, oh, look what he said. Look what she said. Social media. Okay. A heart that creates wicked plans, feet that run swiftly to evil. A false witness who breathes out lies, even half-truths. Well, it was just a white lie. It wasn't all the way true. It's tax time. It's tax time. It's tax time. If I just fudge this number just a little bit, I'll get a bigger refund. That's a lie. And God is watching. And one who spreads discord, rumors among brothers. Guess what I heard about so-and-so? Don't you tell nobody, but guess what I heard? I know. I just can't hold this. I got to tell you what I heard. God says that's repulsive to him. Okay, James 3, 13 through 18. Who among you is wise and intelligent? Let him show by his good conduct. Let him by his good conduct show his good deeds with the gentleness and humility of true wisdom. When we see someone who is arrogant, if I'm an arrogant person, I don't really know God. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be arrogant. And as a result, be in defiance of the truth. This superficial wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, secular, natural, unspiritual, even demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder. Unrest, rebellion, and every evil thing and morally degrading practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure. See, I lifted my leg and hand when I said that. I don't know why, but I did. No. But the wisdom from above is first pure, morally and spiritually undefiled, then peace-loving. If I like starting trouble, I don't know God. If I want to run to the fight and see people fight, I don't know God intimately. I may know of him. Then peace-loving, courteous, considerate. Am I courteous? Am I considerate? Gentle, reasonable, and I love the definition of this. The word in Greek is eupathes, which means willing to yield. If I always have to have the last word, I don't really know God. If I got to have the last say, I don't really know God. If I can't listen to anybody, pull that mic back, Camille. Pull it back. Pull it back. Pull it back. It is gentle, reasonable, and willing to listen. Am I willing to listen? Here's one. Am I willing to listen to someone who I'm witnessing to? I was like, no, don't talk. Just listen to me. I am learning when I'm sharing with people, let me hear their story. Instead of, okay, I got to give you the four spiritual laws. Don't talk. Because you know what? There are some people who have suffered some heavy duty pain in life. And if I'm not willing to listen to them, then I don't really know God. Now, as I say that, we're all growing. We're all learning. But we want to accurately represent God. We want to be those authentic ambassadors. Because my mind just went to Ravi Zacharias. The final report came out about him and what he did. Oh, it's true. And it's worse. He had pictures of 200 women in his phone. Some of them were naked. He was texting women talking about how much he loved them. And some people don't know who Ravi Zacharias is. I know that. Camille will explain it to you. He misrepresented God. And just like when David sinned with Bathsheba, he has given an occasion to the enemies of God to blaspheme. Oh, this is what Christianity is about? He was one of your great leaders? And he was cheating on his wife and lying about it and hiding it. Oh, that's Christianity, huh? Oh, okay. Yeah. No, we can't do that. All right. I really got to wrap this up. But the wisdom from above is first pure, morally and spiritually undefiled, then peace-loving, courteous, considerate, gentle, reasonable, and willing to listen. Full of compassion. Am I compassionate? Full of compassion and good fruits. Although it is full of compassion, it is unwavering. And it's without self-righteous hypocrisy. Dun, dun, dun. And self-serving guile. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness, spiritual maturity, is sown in peace by those who make peace by actively encouraging goodwill between individuals. Do I encourage goodwill? Okay, questions, and I'm done. Number one, what does a genuine relationship with God look like? Number two, What would my family and friends say about my relationship with God? Would they say, no, you know, no, he, you know, he's pretty much the same person that you see at church. He's pretty much the same guy. Or kind of the giveaway is, and I've heard this, someone's in church and someone will ask him, so how's your relationship with your family? And the wife does this. And number three, do I actively engage in things that God hates? Now, again, because we're fallible, we, you know, we make mistakes, we sin, we repent. But am I actively, I'm gonna lie, and I don't care what nobody says about it. I'm going to hate people. I'm going to harbor bitterness, and I don't care what nobody says. Well, guess what? You don't have a relationship with God. But again, but the wonderful thing, Isaiah 1 and 18, again, God says, come, let us reason together. Let's talk about it. If you're having these issues, God loves us. He wants us to experience his peace. And as long as I'm walking in opposition to that, I am not going to experience his peace. I love what Gary said Thursday night. Gary, I'm going to use that for a long time. Gary realized he was getting mad. And he said, well, wait a minute. let me dial this back. How many people get mad in here? Let me see a show of hands. Right. That's knowing God. That's a growing relationship with God. When I realize, something's getting out of control here. Let me dial it back. Or even let me talk about it. You know what? Something's going awry here. I need to go in prayer. So having a relationship with God, again, we're all growing and learning. But it's such a wonderful thing for us to do that. So.
It's a beautiful message. God knows us. Yes, he does. Keeping that in mind, we want to get right with the Lord. The altar call is a precious time, given those the opportunity don't know Christ as their personal Savior. When I read Revelation the other night, Revelation of Christ, and John was caught up and was showing things that to come and to take place. And it says those would be blessed, that those who read, and not only read, but hear, the reason and the blessing is because these things will surely come to pass soon. And when I did more further research, and then it was a new song in chapter 5 where they were singing to the Lord, for he was worthy. Well, then the angel would allow a call to ask someone to read the book of life that had seven seals in the back. No one on the earth, no one in the earth could ever open and read the book and then under the seals. John cried and cried, but the elder told him, don't weep. For the Lamb of God, he'll be able to open it, the book of life, and look into it and read those. And it was a new song written of him able to open the books and the seals, and he gave and the sacrifice that he had made, and it redeemed us unto God. Think about that. He redeemed us unto the Lord. you want to have a relationship with Christ. Because it's in Revelation 21, all things may be made new. All things, even us. And all the old things, sinners, all shall be judged. The great white throne, they'll be judged according to their works and be cast into the lake of fire. There'll be no place for them, no heaven, no earth, but the lake, because all those things be passed away. But for God's chosen people who have a relationship with Christ, there's in Revelation 20, all things are new, even us. Revelation 22, it says that he come quickly, and his rewards is with him, according to your works. For he's the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega. And the last word Jesus had to say, surely I come, and I come quickly. Yes. Whoever's not ready, I plead with you, give your life to the Lord. You only have to do it. That's all you have to do. Everything else is done for you. Nothing hard. So I'll say a prayer. If you're sincere about it, pray and ask the Lord for forgiveness of what it is. Father God, those who are dead and who may not have a relationship with you, Lord, ask you, Lord, to lift them up. Give them the courage, harden not their heart, Lord, that they see who you are, Lord, as the angels roared around you, the four angels with six wings and all eyes all upon them, and they're all the holy, holy God Almighty, who is and who is to come and to judge us, Lord. We ask the Lord, help them ever give up their old way, except the new way with you, Lord, for you are the Savior. Only you can be saved, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Welcome them to your life, Lord. And they give up the old ways, in Jesus' name.